Hey now, welcome to the city off campus with your favorite host, Sammy Summerfield and Jack McFarland. Before I introduce today's guest, Jack, I realized that this is our last podcast on campus. Then we're going to really be off campus.
Yeah, like we said last episode, the branding is going to be even more perfect at that point. Like we will be fully off
back
campus.
Back to the COVID days.
Yeah, literally. And at this point, like if you're listening to this, Sam and I are done with school, which saying that out loud is weird, but yeah, we're in that point and it's now or never. It looks like we have to become adults now, whatever.
And we made it through. Like, who would have thought?
And what better way to wrap up your college career, Sam, than doing what we're about to do today?
Oh, I know. So we're here with Haley Stessman, the founder of Her Playbook and manager for the Iowa baseball team. And we were talking the last episode with her about pizza in Iowa City. We talked about Casey's as someone who is from Florida and avoided going to Casey's all throughout college, really not for any particular reason, just never went. We figured it's about time I tried Casey's pizza. So we're going to be cranking out some Casey's pizza reviews. So
now I just have to cut you off real quick, Sam. Now, Haley, is Sam, I remember last time we talked, he said that he was a pizza connoisseur, pizza reviewer. And we questioned that because he hadn't tried Casey's breakfast pizza. I want to get your opinion on what you think he's going to think of this pizza, because it's a love or hate. It's a very polarizing pizza. Curious to see what you think he's going to think of this.
Right. Like, I think his pride is not going to let him give him a 10, but like, otherwise he would. You know what I mean? Like, knowing him, his personality, he is a gas station Casey's pizza guy. So I'm hoping for like an over an 8.5.
Wow, that's like, high.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's going to be critical.
So to kind of dive a little deeper, Sam, which pizza did you get? Sausage, bacon?
I got sausage.
That's fine. Pizza. People do complain about the bacon, that it's too bacony, which will never make sense, but sausage is perfect. Haley, did you get, you said that they didn't have any breakfast, so what did you end up getting?
Yeah, unfortunately they did not, so I went beef.
Beef, perfect. All right.
So just wondering though, like, is the breakfast pizza, like, if you had to pick one type of pizza at Casey's to get, would you get like a regular type of pizza, like cheese or pepperoni, or is breakfast pizza like the always like the go-to?
It depends what time I'm going.
What did you say? Sorry.
I just said it depends what time I'm going.
Okay. My hot take is that even if it's like 5 o'clock or after, I'm still going breakfast pizza if it's available.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I can confidently, because I don't know what time they made said breakfast pizza for that day. And if it's been like sitting out for 6 hours, like I'm not going to not eat it, but that's going to be in the back of my mind while I eat it. Like, wow, this is like, you know, like 6 hour old eggs. I don't really care. I'm going to eat it, but it's just the freshness. You got to worry about it. But I actually haven't ordered a full pizza, Sam. I only get the slices. So it's usually whatever they have available.
You get full pizzas there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You could order ahead. Mm-hmm. Pick it up. But,
so, like, my, like, question, too, is, like, how, like, iconic is, like, this pizza? Like when did you each have your first slice of Casey's pizza? Like, is this something just, like, a college thing? Or is this, like, a Iowa, Nebraska thing, like, where it's, like, just a go-to? Because I've never even eaten food from a gas station before.
It's a general store, so let's just get it straight really quick.
Oh, my God.
It's a general store.
Gas station.
I had a Casey's get built by my house when I lived in Ames when I was, like, 7 or 8. And ever since, like, I moved, it was always there. It was easy to get whatever breakfast they had, like, the cheesy hash browns or cheesy potatoes. They always had, like, pizza and other, like, foods. So, like, I've had it since I was like 9, 10, and it's just been good. Like, I don't think it's even changed either. They haven't changed anything. It's just been constant and I haven't had any complaints.
So like when you've had it, it's just always been like
it hits.
It just always hits.
It hits.
Like, it's never failed.
Yeah. No. And actually, even the cheese pizza hits, you know, everything hits. And that's where I think there is a little Casey's pizza for everybody at that point, where maybe if you don't like the breakfast, there's the cheese, there's the beef, the pepperoni, the sausage. Like, there's so much for you to choose from. In the taco, you could get the taco pizza.
So, like, as someone who's uncultured in the Casey's community, why is this so popular compared to going to like Airline or like Wig and Pen or like something like that?
Haley,
like, why do people like go to Casey's for slices? Like, why? Like,
I feel like it's just like a Midwest thing of like, you know what you're getting. You know, there's like no facade, like, you know what I mean? Airliner's trying to sell you that it's really, really good and like, yeah, it hits, but like, don't be something you're not, you know?
That couldn't have been put any better. And for all the people that like to just call Casey's a gas station pizza, I feel like the quality of the pizza is what makes me at the end of the day continue and say it's a general store, because this is better than just what people would say is gas station
pizza. I will say, off looks, the crust looks impressive. I was shocked by the crust. I did not think it'd be that doughy.
Also, well, Sam, one more thing that defines Casey's is like, Casey's doesn't want your recognition. You know what I mean? So if you slander this, they're like, fine. They are unfazed. That's so true. I think that's like defining as well.
Yeah, there is that like Iowa nice where they don't have that need to want to lash back you, because they know they have the rabid fans like us that just will continually get it and put people like Sam on, because you have to eventually, Sam. You're going to move away from Iowa and you won't have the luxury of having Casey's around the corner.
So that's what I'm trying to like take advantage of it now. But like,
yes.
Actually, Haley, I have a good question for you before we get started on the reviews. What's more impressive of a feat in college? Me not having Casey's at all while living in Iowa City in 4 years, or Jack only going to one football game a year?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good one. I haven't had it once. Like,
never.
They offer it to you morning, the morning after, the nighttime, mm-hmm. a lunch, a walk to class. Like,
I'm more of a local so spot accessible. Type of guy.
It is a local spot. Bad excuse.
Hey, we got to like, eat, though. It's getting cold.
Yeah, we got to eat it now. But I will say, there was like 40 opportunities, maybe 20 for me to go to a game, Sam. There's been like 2,000 for you to get pizza. So I don't want to hear this slander.
I'm more of a... I'm not going to slander it, but I'm just saying, you know, if I'm going for pizza, I'm hitting like Airliner. I'm hitting
Boss, take your bite and let me know what you think.
So I think you guys should go first so I can kind of like feel out.
No, you go first. This is your day. We are doing this for you. I'm going to give it's a little narration so as Sam it's gets so ready. Greasy.
He's so picking like, it up. I got it.
Yes. It looks wonderful.
Doesn't
it looks,
flop.
I'd it give it to my
flop.
Dog.
I thought it's going to flop. So I'm impressed by that. Okay.
He's taking a bite. It was a little boy bite, not a whole lot on the edge. He took a bite of the crust. Now he's getting a feel for both sides of it. He's chewing, he's thinking. See, I can tell with the look in his eye right now, he wants to give it a good score. He really does, because there's a lot of good flavors that are coming out right now. But he's at the end of the day, he realizes he's defined this pizza as gas station pizza, and he realizes I cannot do that because of this quality. He's going in for a third bite, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I can't make this
up. I'm trying to give it a fair score.
I'm trying to give it a fair score while you're trying to eat half of the piece. I understand. Uh-huh. I would too.
Well, I gotta take a quick sip of the coffee first.
Quick sip of the coffee. Is that I'm a Casey's sure coffee? Well.
No.
Yeah. No. Casey's has phenomenal coffee as well. Mm-hmm. That stuff is atomic.
Makes yeah, there's scary. A line for it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Definitely worth it. Another sip of the coffee to wash it down, get himself a good idea.
I will say I had way worse expectations. Ooh. Like, I thought it was gonna be like bad enough where I was gonna like feel ill 5 minutes after even taking a bite. I just thought it was going to be like rat poison. But first thing that came to mind, is I thought like Domino's, Papa John's, like that quality.
Yeah.
And I'll say it exceeded that. It exceeded that quality.
I will say, Sam, for someone who, when we did the Estelo's burrito review and you had the buff, which was the pancake inside of like the the breakfast burrito, I've had that recently and I legit thought it was disgusting and I couldn't finish it because it was just so much. It was wet. It was gross. This, I feel like you had that same thought going into it, yet it's just not that. And I feel like this is probably one of the more enlightening foods that you've had in Iowa City. Like you just said, you expected it to be a lot worse and to feel sick. You're looking at it like you want to finish it and maybe get another.
So I have a list here. Me and my buddy did pizza reviews. This will be posted on the Instagram of all the pizza places in Iowa City this semester. I'm looking through the list on my rankings here. And I have Mesa at a 4-5. That's where I have Mesa. I'm not a big Mesa guy.
Were you sober when you ate Mesa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For the rating, for it to be an even rating scale. Yeah. Right. And so I will say, and I have Paglia's at a 5-7. I'll put Casey's at a 6-2.
So where does that rank though? I saw like 10 names on there. If you'd said a 6-2, give me the one above it, one below it.
Okay. Oh, so it beat my Falbo's rating.
Okay. I respect Falbo's rating.
Falbo's was a 6-1.
Nice.
Liner 6-6.
Oh.
Now, but listen, we went to a few other places that far exceeded it. So Maggie Farms is the top one. I don't know if either of you have been to Maggie Farms. That was 7-9. That was just phenomenal for Iowa.
Well, you have to describe it. What kind of pizza was it? Doughier, crunchier, cracker?
It was like crunchier, but it was like wood-fired.
Okay.
So nice. It was just like really good pizza. And then Wig and Penn, 7-2. Sanctuary, 7-4. I really liked Sanctuary.
Have you had Basta's yet?
Yeah, Basta's gas, but we're only trying to pick like pizza places.
I would give Basta, Haley, I don't know if you've had it, I would give that a hard 3-7. I thought it was terrible.
Really?
I didn't know. I thought it was runny. Pizza. I might have had
it's bad... a great. Well, we also get it like for an app or something. We don't get it for
it was runny. It wasn't.
Is it wood fired as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like the consistency isn't as like defined. It's a little runnier, but it's still like I wouldn't go to Basta to get pizza. I'd definitely go to Casey's instead, which I don't think Basta wants to hear out loud. But I'm happy for you, Sam. I'm glad taking this step.
I'll say the Casey's pizza 6-2. I will say 6-2.
I'll take that.
I'm shocked that I'm even giving it that high of a score. I thought it was going to be like a 5 at max, but I'm giving it a 6-2.
What is there any possibility from now until when you leave?
Because I think it's better than Papa John's. It's better than Domino's. It's better than like the ones where it kind of tastes similar. So that's where
it's like egg and cheese and sausage on pizza. Yeah. Like you can't beat that.
I know it's really not that bad. I'm like my eyes are kind of like shocked right now that I'm in the Casey's world now. I'm just mind blown. But first, wait, so what was the question? If I would go back before I leave?
Yeah, do you think you'll ever go back before you leave? Because it took you this long to get it once. You said you've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Are you a returning customer now?
If I did this like 3 weeks ago, I'd say for sure. Now that I'm only here maybe for like three more days.
No chance.
I would say probably not. The odds are slim.
You know what I just thought of, though? Like, how iconic if you do, like, grad pictures outside Casey's with, like, your slice.
Oh, man. See, you know what's funny is I did my grad pictures with the guy that does, like, the summit photography. And he said that some people have crazy ideas. But he didn't say someone's ever pictures? Done that. Yeah. And he said
that. Are you
that,
a girl?
No.
Sorority girl?
No, they were phenomenal pictures too, Sam. Keep judging.
I'm shocked out of all people that I know, I would never think you'd be the person to do grad photos, but that's
his mom
great.
Probably wanted them.
I mean, four of us,
the mom excuse.
Four of us did them together. It's not like people didn't do senior photos in high school. And now I had some for graduation.
Did you do it with guys or like, who'd you do it with?
Freaking rights. Because if you do it with girls, here's the thing that you have to like understand going into that. You're there from 2 hours before the photo shoot, and the photo shoot will take then 2 hours, and then it'll be like, oh, we need to get this other angle, this, that, and the other. For us, we were just jerking around
about it. Yeah,
no, we were just like, the guy was directing us, and we were just like, okay, where do we go next? What do we do? With girls, I feel like girls would direct the photographers, so it's like the different dynamic. We were there for like under an hour, and it was golden hour. And
so when are these photos getting posted? Do you have like a specific drop time?
I don't have a specific drop date, but I will say I haven't seen them yet. I'm just assuming they look good.
If you want to talk analytics, the best time of day to post is around 7 p.m.
7 p.m. That's around the time when we got our pictures taken. So that's just, that'll work out perfect.
So Jack, you almost took a photo in front of Casey's. Was that the thinking there?
That was, we were joking around about like where people would take their grad photos, but we didn't get there. And I think that would be so iconic, because I've seen those pictures back in the day of the guy who did his like graduation pictures at McDonald's, and he was like eating the fries or whatever. That would be perfect for Casey's. Like, absolutely perfect. You just get a whole pizza, or you just get a couple slices. I don't know. Bush Light with it too. That's so Iowa.
So I gave my rating. What's your guys' Casey's ratings?
7.7.
Why?
It's got a little bit of everything. It's soft. It's got the cheese, the egg, the protein, and the meat. And then there's like that little layer of gravy right underneath it. And it's just, where else do you find a pizza that has this much going on and it works?
I mean, it's very greasy, though.
It's general store pizza. It's some pizzeria.
Yeah, 7.7, that's high. Haley, what's your score?
I am a generous rater, and I'd probably go 8.3.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
8.3. No, so if you go to a pizzeria and have the best pizza ever, what would you rate that? Like, Iowa City, what's your favorite pizza outside of Casey's?
Wig and Penn.
Okay, well, what do you rate Wig and Penn?
Like a 9.1.
Oh, shit.
See, I'm generous.
But that's fair. Yeah,
that's
because I don't think you have many pizza places above Wig and Penn. And I feel like 9.1 is good, because once you get to like a 9.5, good luck getting above that. So I think that's a good score.
Right. And bonus points for they don't skim on the toppings and the price.
That's true. I paid $3 for this slice. Right. I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah,
I will say Fabo's is cheaper.
Yeah, but I feel like the quality is also kind of cheaper, you know? Like, they've got a lot more going on. You see
make it at Fabo's.
Okay, you can watch them make it at Casey's. If you look over where you grab the pizza from, that's where they make it. Literally right behind there is the kitchen. So you can just watch them stir it around, mix all the ingredients.
Yeah, I wondered if it was, like, frozen. Like, I wonder if it was just, like,
no, they make it. They make it fresh every day. That's the beauty of it.
See, I need these Iowa tidbits like freshman year, like at orientation. Nobody told me these things.
This is what On Iowa needs to add to their program. It's not how many different resources there are at the main library. It's what's so good about Casey's.
Like, I feel like I'm attending On Iowa from Casey's right now. And you guys are the two Casey's reps.
I do think, though, outside of Casey's pizza, the other food, and Haley, I don't know what your opinion is on it, because I talked about lots, like some of it earlier. Some of the other food they keep warm is hit, and some of it is miss. And I haven't had enough of it to say what hits or misses. But I said, those cheesy potatoes are like the only thing that I think I can speak to at Casey's.
Yeah, I also can't speak to a lot. What are your guys' thoughts on gas station donuts? I can't do them.
So we've called Casey's a general store, but like, do we call that gas station donuts?
I don't know.
See, like, because the Casey's by my house when I lived in Ames had donuts, and we would get those. If it was like an early morning, we would get a dozen of those from there, and it would be easy. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if that counts. Like, I don't know if you would rather go to Dunkin' or not. Gas station donuts.
Do you mean like donuts like they have out? Like, or do you just mean like ones you buy, like from
no, like, oh, like they're in a little like
box.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like a display.
Yeah, clear display. And like, I'm like, mm-hmm. how long have those been sitting there?
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
No.
90 degrees this in Iowa first, City.
This is my first time ever eating food from like the gas station food area. So that goes to show my
Sam, in high school, I did landscaping for 2 years. Lunch was gas station food. Lunch every day, nearly at least. We'd go to Speedway and it was 25 minutes. We'd go to Speedway and get food, like a turkey and cheese sandwich. Dogs? No, I wouldn't get those like hot dogs or like the taquitos or whatever they'd have on like the little roller. Wouldn't get those. I would trust, and this is like red flag central, they have like bagged turkey and cheese sandwiches, and I'm like, yup, that screams me right now. Because like everything else is just so bogus looking that you don't want to like try it. You're like, look, how bad could a bagged turkey and cheese be? It was pretty dry, pretty bad.
Jack comes home from a long day of work. And his mom's like, what did you get for lunch? I got Speedway. Wait, you got Subway? No, I got Speedway.
Speedway. Oh, yeah. It was that was clockwork going to Speedway. Oh, my God. Those were not the days. Do not. Hey, you know, if I had done landscaping in Iowa, though, I think I would have appreciated Casey's a lot more. And I would have probably gotten a lot fatter because I would have had a lot of their pizza for lunch.
Alignment gains. Alignment gains.
So, yeah, I gotta say though, Casey's, it's up there in terms of like general store gas station food. And I've had this one a couple times, Sam. I'm sure you could speak to it with Wawa. I think Wawa is up there. I think Wawa and Casey's
Wawa is really nice.
Wawa's really nice.
I've never heard of Wawa.
So Wawa, I would compare it to like, do you know what Speedway is, Haley?
Yep.
It's like Speedway and Casey's, and they had a baby and name it Wawa. And Wawa, like you can order like subs, hot sandwiches, cold sandwiches, whatever, and they have all sorts of different things inside of Wawa, but they actually make good sandwiches, like really good. So that's where I think they get the Casey's from them, but they have the Speedway where it's like the selection. But Sam, like Wawa, do people get excited about Wawa? Like I feel like you are just so nonchalant about it right now.
I mean, like my dad was excited when we got Wawa in Florida. He was like,
he was a geek.
But like I don't recall, this is so bad because it's just so not Midwest, but I don't recall any friends of mine being excited about a gas station ever.
Oh, unbelievable. Not Midwest of you. Yeah, so not Midwest.
Very not Midwest. Very not Midwest, unfortunately.
You guys have some fish taco bar by the sea that you guys all got excited about at Naples.
Beach Box. It's on the corner right by the beach. Yeah, the beach stores. That's what we do get pumped about. Honestly, it is.
Like
there's this one beach store that opened up and they had like bar food, ice cream, whole nine yards, and it was like relatively cheap, so you could just walk up, no shirt, no shoes, go in, get what you want, fire food, and it was like basically that's like our Casey's.
Well, that's what we call Barefoot Bar up in Lake Okoboji.
Yeah, we have those in Naples, so there we go. See, some Iowa Florida middle ground.
Well, people get that excited about those beach stores like they do for like Raising Cane's opening here. Like I swear when Raising Cane's opened, people were taking pictures of it. Like yeah, it was the
I was shocked of the how world. Popular that was here. I was like, dude, I didn't think people would care that much.
I didn't either. Like the last time I saw people that riled up about a food in Iowa City was when like Popeye started the whole chicken sandwich thing.
Yeah.
And they were like starting to sell out of them.
And you went after it. You went after the Popeyes.
I sure did. I tried it. I gave a review. It was phenomenal, by the way. I think I gave it a 9.2 because it's definitely the best chicken sandwich I've ever had. Better than Chick-fil-A. And I said that. And a lot of people gave me some flack for it, but it's up there. Raising Cane's. I don't know what people get so like excited about. They give you like toast with your chicken tenders. Like, ooh, I don't know. I'm sure I could look up like what's in the cane sauce and just make it myself. Probably not.
And Jack, so like my question is like, what's the superior gas station, Speedway or? I need to know and then we'll move on to a different topic, but I just need to know, is it Speedway or Casey's?
So...
No,
this is biased.
Speedway or Casey's.
This is biased, okay. Right?
But it can't be because it's sentimental. It has to be because of the food.
No, yeah, it's Casey's, 100%. And it's because of the pizza. Like, I think...
puts it over the top.
If Casey's didn't have pizza, I don't think they'd be half of the brand or, like, organization that they are. The fact, like, they could stand alone. If you took the general store out, Casey's Pizza, I think, could survive. And I think that's just, like...
Wow, that's a bold statement.
I think that's where it lives.
Now, would they survive in a store in Iowa City, or would they survive on, like, a Eurocart?
Their brand isn't like Eurocart, you know?
So it's like established, like you have to like kind of like stumble there at like 1:30, like,
well, you just like we've been calling, it's the gas station. You go there and you get your unleaded, and then you want to go get a Coke, and while you're on inside getting your Coke, you're like, oh, they have hot and ready pizza. It's almost like what Little Caesars does, where like they just have the pizza there waiting for you, and you're like, oh, it's hot and ready, I might as well just get a piece. That's how Casey's gets you. You go in there for something, and then you're like, oh, they've got pizza waiting for me. Okay. And like you said, $3, easy. I think it could easily survive on its own. And I would be surprised if they didn't try and like build it out even more in the next like 10, 20 years, because Casey's pizza's, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's killer.
And what was I going to say? Oh, but okay, that's fair. That's interesting. I just feel honored that I was welcomed into the Casey's fraternity, you know, right before I left. I feel like a true, like when I went in, there was the truck driver grabbing his coffee. There was the local like people walking their dogs, grabbing their coffees, grabbing their pizza. There was the hungover frat dude who had to get his slice. Like, I just felt like I was in Iowa in that moment. You know, sometimes when you're in Iowa City, you don't really feel like you're in Iowa. That was an Iowa moment for me. So I'm glad you
finally experienced Iowa.
Yeah, I know. It was great. I felt really into Iowa. But and also Jack, like, just one more thing about the Speedway thing. I feel like Speedway made you the lineman you were at Providence. I just like was thinking about it, like, you know, have to circle back on Providence on the last IC pod, because it's all you talk about for the last 4 years. But
Jesus Christ.
But like, I think that's what made you the lineman you were, Speedway. I think Speedway sponsored.
No, it really wasn't Speedway. It was Buffalo Wild Wings at that point, but I digress.
Okay, big wings guy. But Haley, you're home right now. Before we get into some of the fun baseball stuff, I want to ask you, being someone from Nebraska, when you come home and you like tell people you work for Iowa baseball, or, you know, you talk Iowa football, whatever, how much flack do you get at home for that? Like, what's it like being an Iowa fan in Nebraska? I don't think we've ever touched on this before.
Yeah, it's tough. But a lot of it is like brought on by myself or my parents, you know, like, so fun fact, in Nebraska, for like elementary school field trips, you go to Memorial Stadium. Like third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. Like, I don't know another state that does that. Yeah, Lincoln's the capital, but like the highlight of the day is that you get to run the field. And so like
a school field trip, they just take you to Memorial Stadium, like here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the Nebraska cult. Yeah. That's how they indoctrinate you to go be a Cornhusker.
Right. Yeah. And so like option A would have been my parents not sending me to school that day. Option B was wear your bright yellow Iowa shirt and run the field.
Oh my God.
Tell me you did option B.
And they did option B every year. Yeah.
So how many like stanky looks would you get when you'd walk into the stadium with that on?
Like bad. Like, what are you doing? But like from a personal level too, like, yeah, that pissed me off. Some little kid comes in here with her fighting black and gold and her like black and gold Nikes and her Nike Elite. Like,
Haley trolled hard.
Oh yeah.
Have to.
Yeah. So like stuff like that, we do bring a lot like on ourselves as a family, but that's what makes it fun. But like, they just don't understand, like, so dense of like, but why? Why are you an Iowa baseball manager? Why did you choose that? It's like, because there's more out there? I don't know.
Like, yeah. Somebody has to do it and it's a cool opportunity. Right. Why?
And then it's like, why? Like, are you okay? Like, yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, like, psychological dynamic here.
So, like, does Nebraska, like, do Nebraska fans have any hate for Iowa State because it's so close, or do they
only I'd say there was hate before the Nebraska left the Big 12, excuse me. There was definite hate, I think, at least.
Right. Or they still talk about Texas.
Yeah, they do still talk about Texas. Really? Yeah, Oh yeah, like the Texas-Nebraska Big 12 championship. They still
can't get over it.
No, they still can't get over how they feel like Mac Brown had like the refs in his back pocket, and it was like, just they got shammed. Yeah.
Like, Haley, what do Nebraska fans think of Scott Frost? Like, are they like all in on the Scott Frost train, or like after losing so many times, they're like,
I think it's gone down a little bit, but like you would have thought he was Jesus before he even came here. Like before he stepped into the cornfields, like they're like 12-0, natty champs. And it's like, no way. But they still ride.
I don't like, and I'll never understand, because when I grew up, it was always Bo Pelini was like the guy, and he was consistently a 9-win coach, 8 or 9 wins. That's good for Big 10, Big 12 football. And they were just like, Bo Pelini got us 10 wins. Not good enough. And then they go get Scott Frost, who's just been an absolute travesty. They have taken so many steps backwards. And I don't know. No, they don't. They see it as like we're moving forward because we have someone like Scott Frost in charge, which just does not work, and it has not worked. And I think ever since they did join the Big Ten, I don't know if it's because competition changed or it just became a lot harder for them to recruit, especially because of the different schools and just how it's regionally set up. They've just in the last decade have just really taken a stinker in terms of athletics, football especially. It's just you like when the good traditional teams are good, you know, like when Michigan's good, it's fun. When Nebraska's good, it should be fun. Texas fun, and people like to see them not do well. But it's like, come on, Nebraska, like, can we figure it out eventually? Because they just keep doing the same thing over and over, and they're delusional. I think they are maybe the most delusional fan base in college sports.
Yes.
And then Haley, so you're in the midst of the Iowa baseball season right now. I was at a game the other day, which was a blast. Like, I just have so much fun at those. But how's the season going for you guys? Also, if you want to share the graphics you've made and stuff, you're more than welcome to. I gave you access.
Okay, cool. Season's going really well. Let's see here. I'm the worst with sharing. I guess I'll start with my day of the week follow up. We got Ty Snepp saying it's irrelevant, but that's fair.
Now, how do you feel about that when Snepp said that?
Yeah, I was a little hurt, but I understand it's not like all encompassing, but I was like, give me some cred, Snepp.
No.
Like,
yeah, I agree. Did you ever address it with him?
No.
Oh, don't worry, I will then for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, or next time I see him, I will. I'll be back. That's funny. No, and he's a really good guy, like, could banter with him. We are sitting third in the Big Ten right now, and there's 2 Big Ten series weekends left for each team, and then some people have non-cons midweek games. So the top eight teams go to the Big Ten tournament, and we're sitting a solid 3, but obviously like seeding matters, and we are aiming to get like a regional bid. So every game matters. But kind of circle back to the win percentage by day of the week. If you add up all the midweek games, we're 7-2 on the season, which is 0.778 win percentage. Pretty impressive, but also kind of like as expected.
And that's when your number one pitches, right?
No,
that like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, Monday, beginning. Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I was looking at Friday.
No, you're good. Midweek games, we kind of like string together pitchers, or it varies. But doing well, really well there. And then Friday, last time I came on, I think we were 3-2 on Fridays. And so we've won 4 straight Fridays, which is big. And like will continue to be big these next 2 weekends, because you need to for sure win those series. That's taking 2 of 3. And then with only 7 games remaining, we're trying to win like at least 6 out of 7. Like it's crunch time. So it goes back to that like confidence thing, or like, does that translate into Saturday, Sunday? Are you playing from behind? If you lose Friday, you know you have to win both Saturday and Sunday. You know, taking Friday is a big deal. So to see that we've had some success there is good. And that also, Adam Mazur is our Friday starter, future draft pick. He'd be a really interesting guy to talk to too. Then Saturday, still continuing to kind of struggle. I think that was the same last time. And then Sunday, seen some success, and we're going to need it these last 2 weekends too.
I like it. So to me, your win by day is this theory is holding up. I think it's decent. It's holding up, I think. I think it's only improved.
And I think, Sam, I remember when we had talked about this initially, you had the theory of like Friday, you come out with Mazur, you're number one, you have a good game, and then you roll into Saturday and it's like you might take the foot off the pedal a little, but then they're able to bounce back effectively on Sundays and still get that end of the series win and possibly take it. And it's still like it looks like it still holds true a little. And I can't, like, obviously we jab Ty for like saying it doesn't matter. And that's like exactly how I would react if I were him too. Like, I wouldn't want to say it matters, but it like clearly it looks like there is something to this, because the beginning and the end of their series are strong, but there's something about the middle where maybe it's the lineup configuration or who's starting or just how it all works. It's just the Saturday game hasn't been as consistent for them as like you would want. And it's kind of been constant with this hypothesis that you started with, Haley, and I never would have thought this would actually like carry over and still be relevant, but here we are.
Right. And like I said the first time, and like it doesn't cover everything, because it's like, okay, Saturday, it's just a very like good baseline. So you look at Saturday's been a problem. You are significantly under 500 on Saturdays. So like, what is the problem? And then you can go into your hitting stats, or is it pitching? And like, I'm a believer that pitching, especially at the collegiate level, in the way like schedule set up, is a huge determinant, but it's like, maybe bats just aren't going on Saturdays. So I don't know.
You know, I like it. And then, yeah,
but had to come back with that to show that it wasn't a huge flop.
Tie back. I think it's the prove Ty Snap Wrong tour the rest of this season. I think it's a spike tour. I think analytics is going to disprove his opinion, and this is going to carry out the rest of the way.
Yeah. But my next thing, I do have a less controversial topic and some Husker hate.
Love that.
So I find preseason rankings in any sport like so interesting. Nuts. It drives me nuts. Or agreed. I even said to someone this past week, they were like, oh, I know someone that works in the NFL as a media person. And I go, analytics people hate media. Because, yeah. It's like, true. Right.
Because they don't use numbers. They use like opinions usually.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean, though?
Yes.
No, analytics people do hate media. I know that for a fact.
Right. Right. So I'm like, here's an easy thing to look at. And that's, nobody looks at Big Ten baseball preseason rankings. You know, there's nothing crazy going on there, but you know, it speaks to like everything, more so like football or basketball, but whatever, ends up being, in my opinion, useless. But yeah, I click on them all. I read them all. I buy the Athletic premium just to see them.
Love it.
So for baseball, the left column is the top 6 preseason rankings for Big Ten, which is, or was, Nebraska, Michigan, Iowa, Maryland, Ohio State, Indiana. Ooh. Currently, I mean, this is much easier to see on the screen, but for those just listening, currently Rutgers is number 1 in the Big Ten. We're not listed preseason top 6, followed by Maryland, Iowa, who was 3, still standing 3, Illinois, Michigan, and Penn State. I wish I had like an animation come in of this like far column. And that's like, spoiler alert, Nebraska was predicted preseason number one and sits 10 of 13.
Ooh.
Ohio
so
State.
So classic.
Right, right. Do we just want to pause and comment on that?
We could take a moment of silence. I really don't think there's a whole lot to say about the Cornhusker athletic program.
Right. But just in case you forgot, they were predicted to finish number one, and they're sitting 10 of 13, possibly at risk of missing the Big Ten tournament. Like I said, top eight teams go. And crazy enough, that is hosted in Omaha, Nebraska. I will be attending 45 minutes from Lincoln. Be ashamed to not see
it. That's so fitting.
Yeah. Same place as the College World Series, too. So.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, then Ohio State predicted 5 is now 12 of 13. And then Indiana was 6, but they sit 7 of 13. So.
Yeah. Indiana's missing Schwarbs.
Indiana, man.
Ever since Schwarbs got drafted, they're just, you know.
No, but this was the year of Indiana. Like all the writers in the media thinking Indiana athletics was legit.
Oh,
after
I know
last
for
season.
Everything, football,
everything.
Basketball. Yeah,
everyone thought Indiana was like the new Ohio State, and they're like, whoa, let's come on, let's take a breather.
Tom Allen and Woody aren't cutting it right now. They aren't cutting it.
I do find it interesting though that they have Iowa exactly where they should have been. You know, like that's
so Iowa. That's so Iowa.
Our expectations are to be there, and we're there, and that's right. What can you say?
Like right. I was looking at Heller's coaching record the other day, and it's just like the same, like similar records, just like winning, and like him, Kirk, and Fran these last like 5 years just are so consistent. It's like
so crazy.
Gotta love consistency at Iowa. I mean, a lot of people will always
we're always in it. We might exceed a little. We might
underachieve, but that's how it is. Like with Iowa, you know what the bottom line is, and the bottom always. Line is a lot higher than a lot of other programs. Like
they're the crazy Iowa Twitter fans who think we should be national champions in every sport every year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally. So, question on the Big Ten tournament: 8 teams go.
Yep.
How is that format? Is it single elimination, double elimination? How do they go about that?
Yeah, I had some notes on this too. It is double elimination and then no byes. So no one buys. Plays nice. 8 right away and whatnot. And then I believe, I could be wrong on this one, but championship is best 2 out of 3.
I like that. That could be wrong though.
I know that's how CWS is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like they should do it like a 2 out of 3. You know, like I feel like with baseball especially, it's just one of those where there's so much that can go on in just one game, and there's so many players that you should give them like a 3-game series to see who's the best. I think that would, if they don't do it, fix it. If they do, good.
I'd agree.
And transitioning out of Iowa baseball, Haley, you've been pretty busy this semester. Looking ahead to this summer and next year and stuff, do you want to kind of share what your upcoming opportunities and plans are with everybody?
Yes, I have been a little busy this summer, but like super grateful for it all. I this summer will be a Minnesota Vikings training camp intern. Thank you so much.
Of course.
That I don't know. This is kind of funny. They emailed us about 3 weeks ago now that we were selected after like a questionnaire interview, all that. And I was like, perfect. And they were like, can you provide housing and what's your t-shirt size? And I'm like, oh, so official of them. Not really, but like, where do I sign? I'll still do it. And then didn't hear anything for 2 weeks. So last week I emailed them and was like, hey, do you have any more information? And she was like, oh yeah, sorry, been crazy with the draft. Now that that's over, we should have more information for you. And it's like, it's so crazy that my whole summer revolves around that. And they're like, all right, chill out. We got to like pick up our new guys, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of crazy. I don't have many details on it. They just said training camp. So it's July 25th to Friday, August 19th, and I will start my senior year Monday, August 22nd.
That's awesome.
Selfishly, professional career path, all of that aside, for you, like how cool was that when it all kind of started to fall into place for you, and just to take that step back and be like, wow, this is a reality now?
Yeah, pretty cool. And I honestly don't think it's really going to set in until I get up there. But so cool. And you guys know, like with the sports industry, it's like a grind. Like you go at it for a long time, and like it's all so fast that it just falls into place. But like until then, it's exhausting. And you're like, are you sure? Like I'm in the business school. A lot of those kids get their internship. It's late if it's not figured out by September. And I figured out mid-April. And like up until then, they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. You guys know that.
And then they get their jobs a year in advance too. So then.
Oh, no. I know kids that have had their jobs lined up since they were like 19. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, come on. It's just such a different. It is so different. And like we talked about this last time. Like some people just don't, if they're not in this like industry trying to get into it, it's difficult to realize how the timeline for sports organizations or even just sports media organizations, sports business, it's difficult because their timelines on hiring and just working is, it has to fit into the sports schedule, and fitting anything into the schedule of sports is near impossible. So like you just said, they kind of forgot to communicate with you for a couple weeks because it was the NFL draft. And they're like, we just brought in 10, 12 new guys. We got to worry about this. And then we'll bring you in. And it's like, well, you don't think about that in the moment, because all you're thinking is like, oh my God, I'm this close to getting it. But then you take a step back, you go, wow, this is way bigger than I actually thought. And it's, you're in it now. You're in it. And it's really cool to kind of have that moment where you feel I'm in sports now. Like I get to navigate these just fluid waters that is the industry. It's a fun, scary, but it's a fun opportunity that you just know, I don't know where it's going to take me, but I know this is what I want to do.
Yeah. No, and thank you for that, because that like means a lot. And someone coming from it that like gets it, you know, everybody from the outside's like, nice, you know, and it's like, well, yeah.
So Haley, one question I have, because you're such a huge Hawks fan, is are you going to be able to hold back a Go Hawks when you see like Amir Smith-Marset at practice or Nate Stanley or any of those type of guys?
No, I'm going to be causing problems. Like, okay, it's still Midwest. Like, I could, like, I don't know. If we go to the Minnesota Gopher Stadium, I'm going to be like, oh, Kinnick North? I must have took the wrong exit. Like, this is crazy. Hey, we're talking to the kid that ran Memorial Stadium in a yellow Iowa shirt.
Yeah, like, you are not going to hold back at any expense. Oh, yeah. Right. No, I definitely. And kind of like, it's got to just being able to just to like, for you selfishly to like be at training camp when you get there and to see like Amir, Nate, just that moment, it'll just be so full circle for you. It'll be a weird moment at first, but just to see them, like you were with them at college and now you're professionally starting your career and they're there too, which it'll just be weird, but it'll be really, I think, gratifying at the same moment to just see them. It'll be like a pinch me moment, but that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And lastly, speaking of the NFL, was there one player who got signed or drafted out of the Iowa guys who entered the draft where you saw them sign somewhere and you're like, I'm happy for them, or like they were your favorite, you like their landing spot, or like who was like your favorite like pick in the draft from out of the Hawkeye pool?
Yeah. Okay. I like three come to mind right away. Yeah. I don't love Linderbaum to Baltimore.
Oh. I would love to hear why. I'm curious.
Okay. So this goes back to me as like a person of like, but Linderbaum is a Midwest guy, you know, like he doesn't want the BS that is DC, you know? But from a player standpoint, I think that's a really good fit because I think he can grow and get playing time quick. Mm. What are your guys' thoughts? You see what I mean, though? It's like,
you selfishly want to keep him in the Midwest.
Cost of living. Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, I know
cost of living. I'm not worried about cost of living.
Right, I know. You know what I mean, though? But like, Yeah.
It would be like if Linderbaum was picked by like the Chargers and we're like, he's not a West Coast guy. Like, that's right. Just not him. Yeah, I get that.
But Desmond King out there, you go get, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And it fits different people. I think, though, there is just that feeling of when an organization like Baltimore takes a player like Linderbaum, you just have to take a step back and go, man, this organization is just, they're just solid all the way top right. down. And have them pick someone who we can all confidently say is one of the more solid Hawkeyes than we've ever been around. It just fits so well. And while we would love to have him, like I said, there was a 5% chance I could see the Bears trading up and taking Linderbaum. That was selfish. And I wanted that because it fits so well for him to be a Bear.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be a Raven, I mean, it's you get to put a guy like Linderbaum in a no bullshit organization, and he gets to run around and protect a franchise quarterback day one. That's right. Awesome. And I think, you know, and I think it's even more cool that he was a first round pick because he gets that fifth year option then, and it shows that they really buy in and believe in him. The fact that he fell all the way to Baltimore in like the mid 20s,
right?
A lot of people saw that he was going to like fall because teams didn't see him as like a guard compatible player, only a center. And look, I get that, but Sam had the stat last pod. If a center gets drafted in the first round, it's like a 95 or 99% chance he's going to sign an extension with that team. He's going to get the fifth year and he's going to sign his extension. Linderbaum is going to realistically be there 9-10 years because of this pick. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's just so good for Baltimore in that situation where you got your guy and now you got your real guy that can guard, protect him at any cost. I think that's just so perfect for him.
Speaking of that, what's your guys' thoughts on the Lamar tweet?
I think it's perfect that it shows everybody that the players, especially in the NFL, aren't in the like know as much as you think they would be.
Right.
And I think that's also interesting to make you wonder, like, how involved maybe was Lamar this offseason with how they wanted to like shift the scheme? Because you can tell if they want to get rid of Hollywood Brown, they want to go to more of an intermediate running game rather than trying to focus down the field. And Lamar can throw the ball, but we can all sit here and agree he's the most dynamic player with the ball in his hands. I don't think they want to like take the ball out of his hands, but it just felt like they were trying to force it to Hollywood at times. And hey, you subtract one weapon, you add like three tight ends in the draft. Who knows what Baltimore does this year? It's going to be fun to watch, but I think Lamar tweeting that was just so perfect for the entertainment factor of like NFL off seasons. Like, it was just perfect.
True.
What were your other two?
I like Dane Belton at Dallas.
I like
that. I just found comfort in that one from like a personal and scheme standpoint. I think they use the cash, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That flexible middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And I think he can grow there too. It's like the ceiling for both of them is really good and promising, exciting. And that's what Hawkeye football is, you know?
Exactly.
Last one. What are your thoughts on Goodson?
Going to Green Bay as a Bears
fan. Not necessarily the location, but how far he fell.
I wasn't shocked.
Yeah.
And I wasn't either, but was surprised that Hawkeye media was so shocked.
That's what I don't get.
I thought Goodson thought of himself as like a second, third round back.
Yes.
But the reality, the football world, and most people saw him as a sixth, seventh undrafted round back where he can make a team still or whatever. Like, I think that's not out of the possibility. I see him almost as like a Mekhi Sargent type of, you know, background where Mekhi had to like earn his way, but once he earned his way, like he made plays like with the Titans last year. Like, he's been fighting for time, and I think he's gonna grow into a 6-7-8 year player.
And I think
that's where Goodson can go.
Yeah. Mekhi was a JUCO transfer, then a fifth year, you know, like Goodson left early. So that like makes you ask yourself, was it worth it? You know?
I wondered if Goodson just kind of, you know, he was getting the NIL deals, whatever. It was more about just kind of getting the bag while he could. Like,
yes.
We made it to the Big Ten championship. He rushed for how many yards, you know, another solid year. So it's just kind of like at that point, what are you going to do? You know, that's going to eclipse that for the NFL draft and his position with his size and everything else.
Yeah. And I think especially like talking about his size, he's 5'10", a buck 90, 195, maybe. He's fast. He's an athletic running back. Sure. The only problem, it just becomes the NFL has stopped like valuing running backs as highly as they have the last 10, 15 years, to where you see Goodson want to make that move and leave early because it's probably his best opportunity. If he gets hurt, like let's say hypothetically, knock on wood, he comes back and he like broke his ankle, there goes his entire career and he's definitely not getting drafted. So like it made sense, but the one like comparison, and it's kind of ironic, Haley, that the one I'm thinking of, he plays for the Vikings, is Kenny Wangu, who got drafted by the Vikings this past year. He was like a running back, fast return guy for Iowa State, but he ran a 4.28. Like he was an undeniably fast athletic guy that they took in the third round. You couldn't deny how different he was in other athletes. I don't know if Goodson had that undeniable speed, talent, you name it, where they felt the need to take him like in a draft, use a pick. Kenny, he was a Pro Bowl returner. Right. From the jump, and nobody, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, especially after they had then drafted Amir. He had two returners, and Kenne proved, while he didn't get a ton of touches in college, he still is like an athlete for the NFL that can be a difference maker. Not saying Goodson can't, but I don't think like he has the game break ability like Kenne Nwangu, and that's where it gets difficult for someone like Goodson to find a place. He's not big enough. He's like a James White. You need to put him in for certain situations, and that doesn't play when you can only play him for like three downs on a drive. But either like Tyler Goodson, man, that is one player that surprised every Hawkeye fan, I think, when he came on the scene. And I feel like every Hawkeye fan wishes we had more of him, because he was shortened from that COVID year. He didn't get the full, you know, he didn't get the same offensive line he had his first 2 years. So I feel like some people wish they had more of him, but hey, he was an absolutely electric back to watch. And he reminded me very much like Akram Wadley, very much. They were very similar in terms of what they brought, I thought, to the team.
Yeah. Sorry, my Wi-Fi just gave out, but I agree with all of that. And it's like, so, okay, this is my last point for you guys, if we have time.
Sure. Of course.
I need your thoughts on my newest little analytic brain question.
Please.
So in baseball, there's WAR, which is wins above replacement. Mm-hmm. And that is how good is our starter compared to the guy below him in a ton of different metrics. You guys know I'm not even going to try and explain it to those that don't right now. But I came up with a new tool used specifically for the draft and football called WAP. But hear me out. It's win worth above pick. So could NFL teams use like some sort of metric? Let's say you go Kittle, George Kittle, 146th pick in the draft, some sort of equation of how much you paid for him. So you are like combining money and like all of his accolades over the past 5 years of worth above pick. Like, how solid was this pick? Or you have guys that don't pan out, but you can use it to draft in the future or to like budget your draft picks.
No, that's good. That's good.
Worth above pick.
I know in the NFL, so back in the 90s when Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson ran the Cowboys, they created a whole sheet where it put a numerical value on each draft pick, and that's what kicked off like how NFL teams all now use like different valuations. So like when there are like draft trades and stuff,
yeah,
everybody still hits the sheet where like if you're trading a second rounder, they expect at least like, you know, a third rounder and a fourth in return or whatever. They find that like it's all calculated like metrics on what's a fair trade. But the thing is, then whoever you pick, it either pans out or it doesn't. So that's really what makes the trade more valuable. So I find interesting about like looking at salaries like 5 years from then and like looking at performance and if that was like a value, like, yeah, that's
right. Because what you're talking about is called predictive modeling or forecasting.
Yeah.
So the analysis on that is what will happen in the future and like assessing a value to it, super common in like all industries. But I'm saying this is you go back in time and it was that a bust or like great.
Right. You know? So like how I interpreted it is like 2 years ago, the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the first running back. And it's like, well, now we can go back maybe in a year or two and go, what's his like worth? What was it? What did it stand for?
Worth above pick.
Worth above pick. You can clearly see that he's, I don't think the most worth, like there's not the most worth in Clyde. Jonathan Taylor was still picked, you know? So you can see that. And even the example of the Chiefs taking Mecole Hardman, they didn't take DK Metcalf instead. So you could just, I love that. And I've never heard of like that. It's like not revisionist history, but you're kind of taking a step back and thinking, where did we go wrong maybe? And the one that sticks in my brain, and every Bears fan listening is going to have a little heart attack when I say this, but the Bears took Shea McClellan instead of Bobby Wagner, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, a couple other names. I mean, those guys are all still playing in the NFL, and Shea McClellan played for like 4 years, broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone once. I feel like his WAP is not as high as Chandler Jones, but that's a phenomenal example in how you can actually quantify it rather than just sitting here and saying, yeah, he had a longer career, he's okay. Right. Like you're actually putting like a number, a numerical value next to that. And I think like even looking at like wide receivers, I think wide receivers would be the most interesting one to look at because there's so many taken that turn out to be good and ones that are taken early that don't turn out to be good. Like, I mean, biased Darnell Mooney or even Adam Thielen. Like both of those guys were not sought after prospects and they've turned out to be fairly good number one, number two receivers. Love to see what their WAPs are. So yeah, that's, I think you're on to something there 100%. I think I'm curious to see how it gets implemented though for like the future like structure of how an organization budgets it and maybe how they use it to better understand how they have drafted and then maybe shift because they've seen a trend in how maybe taking the tackle in the second round isn't what works out the best. And it hasn't maybe in the last 5-10 years. What made you think of something like this?
I don't know. This is like laying in bed.
I love that.
This is like, I don't want to write my Spanish essay today. So this is where I go. But more so of like in grading the draft, because coming on today, we had talked about like, okay, what are your thoughts on the draft? And media is really quick to like assign an A- or a B+ grade.
So
but
dumb.
It's like, so what?
It's so dumb that they give like A- and C+. Like
right, but I'm going to read it.
Oh, of course.
Seeing my Vikings got an A-, I'm like, that's a win. That's a 3.8 GPA, you know? But more of like, okay, the overall team got this, but the players and their roster that they just brought in, what's their skill level? You know what I mean? Just kind of breaking down further.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love, especially for a sport like football, where there is like analytics hate media hate analytics. There's like the media love to just give opinions and say my opinion on this player is that, and that's why I think he'll be good. And you're just giving like the analytical number to it. So it doesn't, there's no room for argument or dissent on this opinion. It's just, this is the number. This is what we're putting next to it. This is what it is. We're going to work with this. And I think that simplifies it. Even though media won't like to hear this, it simplifies it.
Right. But yeah, that one's a super new thought I just had. And I was like, I wonder what you guys would think.
No,
I love that.
We got anything else, Sam?
No, Jack, I realize next one, I'm sure we'll record an episode with Haley later this summer. Definitely will want to hear about the Vikings stuff and everything else going forward and talk some Hawkeye football once we get around that corner. But Jack, I might be next pod. The Zoom backgrounds might be coming back up. You might get to enjoy the nice variation of backgrounds that I offer you again.
Yeah,
I'm throwback to the past.
I'm gonna have a couple co-hosts with me, a couple furry friends. You know, it's going to be a different time. It's going to be like the good old days when I have
the dogs. Yeah, we got the dogs running around.
Dude, we're heading back to 2020.
Yeah, this is how it all started, Haley. I had dogs over my shoulder. I had dogs in my lap. I live with like four dogs at home. And so they have to be a part of the show.
If they don't get attention, there's a problem.
There is. They claw at the door. They beg for me. So they have to be on camera. They're one of us now. So it's awesome to be able to bring them back in the fold. But yeah, this is our last on-campus podcast. And I mean, I don't know if there's a better way for us to wrap it with Casey's talking about the draft, baseball, and then finally wrapping it up with, you know, Haley's career and how it's just going to continue going forward. We're going to check in with her. I think this was a really good way to kind of wrap what we're doing and what we're about, you know. I think it was good
for sure. And is, you know, I was thinking about just quick thing on like the last year though too, like I was thinking about like we started off the school year with the liner shows where it was like, okay, like we're now doing it live, and now we're transitioning back to doing it from our home bases. So it's a complete 180.
So we're gonna see everybody off campus again.
All roads lead back to the comfortable feelings that we started with.
For real. But we got one more piece of paper though, like on our, in our, you know, back pocket now.
Yeah, true. You can't take that from me, Iowa. Take that from me. Well, Haley, we can't thank you enough for taking the time, and we look forward to talking with you in the summer and if you've lost your cool during training camp or not. But
maybe for the content, for the media content, I'll stir up something.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. That would be great.
That'd be awesome. Well, thank you, Haley, for taking the time today. And like always, guys, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.